seconds. Bryant for the win.
Interviews from your favorite local coaches and athletes.
He's getting to the basket of will, and he's hitting that three-point shot with some consistency now, and he's just in a groove right now where he's pretty well unstoppable.
Hall of Fame and legendary guests.
I was driven by loving to play, liking the challenge of being an NFL quarterback, but after 18 years, I was 1 month short of 39 years old. It's time to go.
Analysis and insight on the latest national sports topics. Live, it's Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini on KOAL 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM.
We officially have no football until August. Welcome to a brand new edition of Drive Time Sports. I'm your host, Jordan Buscarini. That's a tough pill to swallow, isn't it? No football until August. Now, we have plenty of off-season storylines, and those will definitely carry us, hopefully give us our football itch. It's an exciting day. If your team stinks, today is an exciting day. It's not quite the start of the new league season just yet. We got about another month for that. But already a lot of player movement. You know, we can start preparing now for the NFL draft, which gets bigger and bigger every single year. And I guess that's the silver lining of today. Can't overshadow what happened yesterday. And last Tuesday, Friday also, I made my Super Bowl prediction. I took Tampa Bay to win, but I thought it would be a closer game than that. I wasn't surprised at the outcome. I was surprised by the complete and total domination of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. But in all honesty, I don't know if we should have been. You look at the injuries and how depleted Kansas City was up front. It's a big deal. You know, you lose your left tackle. Remmers is a bum. I don't want to be mean, but he has been. So you have to move him to left tackle, or you want to move Rankin to right tackle or left tackle. Either which way, you're not in a very good spot if you're Kansas City. So I don't know that we should have necessarily been surprised at the way this game went. Kansas City had their chances at times in this bowl game, had a couple of efficient drives, couldn't finish. Touchdowns or something you have to score in the Super Bowl. Field goals are not going to get it done. You know what I was surprised at? Patrick Mahomes, 270 yards, 26 of 49. And it really breaks down to what Tampa Bay did in this game. They double-teamed Travis Kelce. They double-teamed Tyreek Hill. They brought pressure on the edge. And I know we'll be able to talk about this a little bit later on in the show. Look, if I'd had a vote, I would not have voted Tom Brady as Super Bowl MVP. I thought there were two players defensively that completely changed the course of this game. Shaq Barrett, when you take a look at his final statistics, you can't give him the MVP because he had one total tackle, he had one sack, he had one tackle for a loss. But he hit Patrick Mahomes four times. I mean, he was so good yesterday. You know who I would have voted for? Devin White. And it's a kid that I have loved since he joined us here on Drive Time Sports 2 years ago. Coming out of college, loved Devin White. Loved him. 12 tackles, 8 solo. Two of those were for a loss. He also had an interception, and he was the catalyst for this defense all postseason. And that's how Tampa Bay got it done. I mean, Tom Brady was not spectacular at any point in time this season. There was never a game where I sat back and I said, wow. And even yesterday, Tom Brady wasn't spectacular. Tom Brady was Tom Brady. He was good. Made the right choices. Did not make a mistake. Took one sack. He was 21 of 29 for 200 yards, 3 scores, no interceptions. That's all you could ask for. He was helped out in a balanced performance due to Leonard Fournette being able to get out and run the football. He averaged over 5 yards per carry. Ronald Jones averaged over 5 yards per carry. So things just set up. It was such a well-balanced team, but defensively, this Buccaneer squad shut down Aaron Rodgers, Patrick Mahomes, and Drew Brees. Really, they did. They shut him down. You know, people always say you can't stop or shut down someone, you can only hope to contain them. Tampa Bay pretty much shut down three, and Drew Brees is well past his prime, I understand that. But if you go back over the last two games, for sure, shut down a red-hot Aaron Rodgers and a Tampa Bay Buccaneer team, and they shut down Patrick Mahomes yesterday. Shut him down. I don't know how healthy Mahomes was, but I know that Kansas City could not get anything rolling offensively in this game. Came out in the second half, and it was as if Eric Bieniemy and Andy Reid decided, okay, we're going to have to run the ball and run it effectively, because they came out, and that was the mindset. Let's run it, run it, run it, run it. Took the ball down the field. They got three. They could not get six. And I don't know if anyone could have predicted that Kansas City would not score a touchdown. But Bruce Arians, who's a very good coach, I'm not a BA fan, never really have been. The guy's a terrific coach. He had two coordinators that were nearly perfect yesterday. Todd Bowles, who's got NFL coaching experience, and Byron Leftwich, who we know can coach. I mean, 5,000 yards. That's what Jameis Winston threw for last season. I thought they were perfect in this game yesterday. Last night after the Super Bowl, I had someone ask me, is Tampa Bay really the best team in the NFL? Yeah, I think so. I think so. I mean, they beat New Orleans, right, on the road. They beat Green Bay on the road. Then they got Kansas City at home. Yeah, I think so. I think so. What does it mean for Tom Brady? And look, the legacy talk is something I never get into. His legacy has been solidified even before last night. I mean, Tampa Bay could have lost this game 31-9, just like they won this contest. And Tom Brady's legacy, it's cemented. This guy's now won 7 Super Bowls. That's more than any other franchise in the NFL. We'll talk more about the Super Bowl a little bit later on. Tomorrow, we can start breaking down the offseason and what's next for both these teams. The Chiefs are probably going to have to say goodbye to some veterans, and that's the way it works in the NFL. The NFL wants parity. And so while the Chiefs right now are the odds-on favorite in Vegas next year, I wouldn't take Kansas City to win the Super Bowl next season. They're going to really have to get creative in some of the moves and some of the off-season deals that they're going to have to pull off. Like Tyrann Mathieu, I wouldn't be surprised if Tyrann Mathieu is not back in Kansas City next year. It's like a $15 million cap hit to have him on the roster. I don't think Kansas City can afford that. And in my mind, they have one more year to really go for it before that Mahomes extension kicks into high gear. See, there's a lot to talk about with Kansas City and their dominance over the last 3 years. I mean, really, if it wasn't for Tom Brady, you can think about this if you're a Chiefs fan. If it wasn't for Tom Brady, you would have went to 3 consecutive Super Bowls, because Tom led New England down the field 2 years ago in the AFC Championship, preventing Kansas City from squaring up with the Rams. I'm not saying that Kansas City would have beat the Rams, but we had an epic showdown between those two in LA that the Rams barely came out on top in. Okay, and then last night he prevents them from winning a Super Bowl. So you could say that Tom Brady has prevented Kansas City from winning 2 Super Bowls. Yeah, it's probable. That's a fair argument. Because again, he didn't make any mistakes last night. We'll talk about that a little bit later on in the show. Let's take a look at what else is happening as far as the national sports scene is concerned. And really, there's just not a lot going on. The NBA, there was a trade made. That's going to send Derrick Rose back to the New York Knicks, reuniting him with Tom Thibodeau for Dennis Smith Jr. That's the trade. So Detroit, New York getting together. The Knicks send Dennis Smith Jr. in a 2021 second round pick, which they got from the Hornets to Detroit, in exchange for Derrick Rose. Rose is going to rejoin the Knicks. Remember, he spent, was it one season? Memory serves me right. One season with a struggling team during Phil Jackson's time. And the Knicks, they're competitive right now. And that's why I like this move. New York is somewhat competitive in the Eastern Conference. I don't view them as a legitimate championship contender. If the playoffs were to begin today, they'd be the number 8 seed. I mean, they're playing close to 500 basketball. They're 11-14. At times, though, the Knicks have been very, very good defensively. I mean, when you look at what they are giving up compared to any other team in the Eastern Conference, and I actually can adjust that, any team in the NBA, they're giving up less points than anyone. So you trade it. Uber-athletic Dennis Smith Jr. You landed Derrick Rose. Rose's name has actually been mentioned a lot over the last year, year and a half. Really, ever since the Jazz waived him in a trade a couple of seasons ago, his name's been mentioned quite a bit because he has had almost like a resurgence. Now, he's never gotten back to that MVP-type season, but he's been some instant offense. I'm curious to see how this works with New York, especially with Tom Thibodeau, as those two reunite. You got to remember, that's when Derrick Rose had a ton of success when he was with Tom Thibodeau. So really, that's the only big story outside of the Super Bowl circulating in the national sports scene. We do have a full slate of NBA games. They begin at 5 o'clock. We get Houston and Charlotte, and we get Washington at Chicago. Those are the early games. 6 o'clock hour tonight, Toronto, Memphis. We'll get Minnesota at Dallas. The Spurs play host to the Warriors. We get the Cavs at Phoenix in the 7 o'clock hour. Milwaukee at Denver, nightcap game tonight. It's the Oklahoma City Thunder taking on the Los Angeles Lakers. The Lakers will be without Anthony Davis, who is dealing with tendonitis in his Achilles, so he will not play in tonight's game. Right now, looking at the NBA standings, Jazz fans 19-5, still the best record in the NBA. One full game ahead of the Lakers, 2.5 games ahead of the Clippers. Eastern Conference, same thing. I mean, you're a full 2 games up on the Philadelphia 76ers. Jazz have won 4 straight, played yesterday. We did not air that game here on KOAL because we had the Super Bowl. But the Jazz, they're going to be making their return to the court. They get the Boston Celtics in a nationally televised game that'll take place tomorrow. So we'll talk more NBA basketball as well in the coming days. But right now, the world, it's dominated by football, and that's what we'll focus on when we get to the national sports segments here on the show today. Also on tap, we're going to preview tomorrow's conference openers for both the USU Eastern men and women. Kind of odd for these guys to be playing on Tuesday, right, as far as conference play is concerned. That's what we get this week. USU Eastern will host Colorado Northwestern. We're going to be joined by Coach Bill Evans. He'll join us when we return here on Drive Time Sports. Plus, we're going to give you the recap. A lot happened over the weekend. Wrestling, high school basketball, junior college basketball. How about the USU Eastern Lady Eagle volleyball squad? They picked up a couple of impressive victories, topping number 2 once again. So there's a lot to get into today on Drive Time Sports. We're going to break for just a moment. We're off and rolling with more right after this.
What you listening to?
Big Sports Radio Guy.
Prepare the water cooler, that we may gather around it later and discuss things.
It's time for the Coach's Corner on Drive Time Sports.
We have a very busy week of local basketball coming up throughout the week. Tomorrow we have a doubleheader, the USU Eastern Girls Squad. They'll open up conference play against Colorado Northwestern, and then we'll have the Emory Lady Spartan contest as they take on South Sevier for a chance to win the region championship. Now, tomorrow night, the USU Eastern men's team will also be in action. You won't be able to hear that game on KOAL, but you will be able to follow it at USU Eastern Athletics or KOALITV.com. We're going to talk about that and more right now with our next guest, Coach Bill Evans, first-year head coach of the 7-0 USU Eastern Eagles. Coach, thank you for the time today.
You bet. My pleasure. Thank you.
Yeah, Coach, we'll start by talking about the weekend. You guys go on the road to Ephraim, come back with a couple of wins. That runs the team's record to 7-0 overall in non-conference play. How did you assess the way the guys played over the weekend?
Pretty inconsistent, I think. Defensively, I think we were okay. Offensively, we didn't shoot it great. You know, we had enough firepower where we could score enough points to win, but I think our defense provides us with points, or it has to this point anyway. So offensively, we're not shooting it very good. I think we're really playing together. I don't think we have guys that are on their own, so to speak. I think they do a good job of sharing the ball.
Coach, in the game against Casper, this is a close game at halftime, 43-40. You guys managed to turn it on in the second half. You pull away, outscore Casper by 20 in the second half. And, I mean, overall, we see a 57% performance from the team from the field, but did struggle to shoot the long ball. Is that kind of what you're alluding to, is maybe struggling to shoot the basketball?
Yeah, we're not shooting the ball great from the arc. We got a couple guys that can shoot it out there. That aren't shooting a really good percentage, and the only way that you can get better at that is to get in the gym on your own and get up shots.
Hey, Coach, this is a really tough question for you to answer, I'm assuming, but I have to ask it from my perspective. When I watch this team play, You guys seem more athletic than any USU Eastern team that I have seen over the last 10 years since I've been here calling games. In your mind, when you see the athleticism out on the court, was that something that you specifically looked for? Or is it noticeable to you that this team is more athletic than, or at least on par with some of the other squads in this conference play? Because I felt like over the last decade, that's where we've been lacking.
Well, we're not as athletic as CSI or Salt Lake Community College, maybe even CNCC. I don't know too much about, or I don't know anything about CSN at all. I'm going to make an assumption that they're plenty athletic. So, you know, our league is a league that's pretty well dominated by athleticism, I think. Snow is a very good basketball team that shoots it better than anybody in our league. But I would say it's a league of athleticism. And I think we do have some athleticism with Nate and Malek, Donable, Dontrell. I think those guys are athletes that can compete athletically in this league. This probably is the most athletic team that I've coached as a head coach. And that might not be saying a whole lot because I don't know how athletic we've been. But, yeah, I like the athleticism of this team, and it's something that, you know, if you can get a combination of skill level and athleticism, then you're really ahead of the game. And I think that Donoville and Nate, Dontrell too, and even Malek are fairly skilled. They're not just guys out there that can't take one dribble. So I think we have a good combination with those guys of being skilled and being athletic as well.
Well, if we talk about the athleticism, there's also some bigs in this league, and we've seen that at CSI, we've seen that at Salt Lake over the last few years, and when I look at this team, Coach, I know Elitch is going to play a very big role in what you guys can do post-wise, size-wise in the paint, and he looks, to me, again, just watching him over the last couple of years, he seems to be getting better and better. Have you been happy with what you've seen from Elitch over the short time frame that we've had of seven games?
Yeah, the first thing is he has a good attitude. He's got the right approach. He has improved. He still misses, you know, by his own admission, he missed two or three shots he should have made that were right at the basket, but he also made two or three that were probably a little bit more difficult. So he's a work in progress, but certainly without question making progress and has become a better player. His strength to me right now is not his ability to score the ball so much as it is his ability to defend. He's become a very confident defender in our defense.
So looking at the bigs, Coach, once you get past Elitch, is there anyone that you expect to spell him as far as giving you some size when he has to come to the bench or if he gets in foul trouble in conference play?
Yeah, I think right now you know, Elitch can probably play the way we want to try to play about 20 minutes a game. I think it's hard to play more minutes than that right now. Now, maybe when we get in better shape physically, you know, maybe he can play more. I think we have a three-headed monster, so to speak. We have Elitch with strength, size, ability to score the ball around the basket, good defender. I think he's a good defender. He's done a good job. Then we have Peter Filipovich, who probably is a little bit better offensively than Elitch. Peter's skill level away from the basket is better. Maybe not as good a defender or rebounder at that spot. And then the third guy we have is Jake Lowell. He's undersized, but he's 6'7"-ish. Really understands how to play. He has a great feel for the game. Really good passer for a big guy. He, along with Peter, can shoot threes as long as they don't live and die from there. I allow them to do that. But I think Jake's biggest strength is his feel for the game, his skill level, and his ability to pass the ball. So we have three different guys that have basically some different strengths. I think Jake's a competent defender, and Peter too, for sure. But three guys that are all a little bit different.
Again, our guest right now is Coach Bill Evans, again, of the USU Eastern men's basketball team. And, Coach, hey, we've spent some time talking about the guards in the past. Really haven't spent a whole lot of time on the bigs. And when you talk about Peter Filipovich, I've been pretty impressed with this guy's efficiency from the field. I guess that would be the best way to describe him when shooting the basketball. He's been efficient.
He is efficient. He's got a little bit of a one-track mind, as I tell him. I don't want him to live and die from the three, but if he's open, his feet are set. He's a more than competent three-point shooter. He can drive it. He's a good offensive rebounder. He's a good player, and he'll get better when he gets in better shape too. We don't. Our overall team conditioning is not horrible, but it's not great. But to me, it's early in the year. Coach Abe Beglin used to tell me, it's early, Coach, it's early. And even though we're moving along, it is early, but when it comes to the end, I think that our team will be in good shape and they won't be wore down like people that have overtrained. They get to a point where they start almost regressing more than progressing. So I like my three big guys. You know, Jake can play a little bit on the perimeter as defensively. Everything revolves around what we try to do defensively with, you know, we might not even be starting our five most talented guys, but because we have them, you know, we have them in different positions defensively, that's how I substitute. In other words, I wouldn't substitute Jesse White for Donovan Avila because Jesse doesn't play that position defensively, and so consequently that's not a substitution that I can make. Malek, Lowell, Sorensen, Donovan, Dontrell, all those guys are wing defenders with Jesse and Julian, Kevin, Nate. They're guard defenders. They play at the top of our defense. And then the three guys that I mentioned earlier are post guys. They play our middle position. And so, you know, I could never put, probably I shouldn't say never, but I probably would never put Peter at a wing position because he hasn't really got the reps there. He needs to be good at it. Does that make sense to
you?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And coaches, as you alluded to earlier on as well, I mean, we're talking about all these nuances to this team. And as you prepare for Colorado Northwestern, really not a whole lot out there on the CNCC team. And then right after that, it's quick. I mean, a Thursday game against Snow College and then a Saturday game against CSI. And so as you try to put these nuances all together and prepare for other teams, has that been difficult?
Well, right now it's difficult, yeah, because you know we're preparing to play our first league game tomorrow night against a team that I've seen play every time that they've played. Everybody tells me that's been around that they're really improved as a team, and I think they have some quality players. Certainly we're going to take it one step at a time, but you also have to start thinking about the next opponent. And I don't think you can prepare for an opponent like Snow in one day. So we'll probably have to do some things today to address Snow a little bit as well.
Well, it's definitely going to be a fun weekend, Coach, a busy weekend, I know that, and then a trip to CSI this Saturday, but nonetheless, it's great to have some basketball. I know it all counts, right? The last seven games have counted, but to have conference play back and to see these opponents three times, it's the best time of the year.
Yeah, you know, what we've done to this point really doesn't mean all that much now. You know, you can feel some some confidence and some gratefulness, I guess, that we were able to do what we did. But, you know, now's the time that really counts, and what we did the first seven games don't have any bearing on what we need to do the next 15.
Well, Coach, I definitely look forward to being along for the ride. I definitely appreciate the time. Thank you so much, and we'll see you at the games this week.
Good. I look forward to seeing you. Thank you.
Again, that's Coach Bill Evans taking out the time to join us here on Drive Time Sports. We're going to break for just a moment. More coming up when we return. We'll flip over to the national side of things right after this.
I understand you're a real sports fan.
Well, then there's only one answer.
Turn on the radio. You'll never have to compromise again.
You're listening to Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini on KOAL 107.3 FM at 750 AM.
Yeah, that legacy talk, people just can't wait to have that, can they? The game's not even over yet. There's like 3 minutes to play in the Super Bowl last night. And Tony Romo and Jim Nantz start talking about the legacy of Tom Brady, as if last night's game had anything to do with that legacy. One of the acronyms I absolutely hate, the terms in sports, is GOAT. I hate that. I hate when people get on and call someone the GOAT. He's the GOAT. Yeah, it's an acronym that needs to die immediately. But in this case, look, there's no other way to describe Tom Brady than the greatest of all time. And here's the thing that I can't seem to get over. Last night I'm watching this, and he wasn't spectacular. It wasn't a Super Bowl, it wasn't an individual Super Bowl performance that we are going to be talking about 10 years from now. You know, it's not one of those performances where you're going to say, wow, remember when Brady did this in that game? That's not what we're going to talk about. But I will tell you, at the age of 43, he was nearly flawless last night. He made the smart play. 21 of 29, 201 yards, 3 touchdowns. And that was really Tom Brady throughout the entire postseason. You know, you could even make the argument that was Tom Brady throughout the year. You could make the argument that that was Tom Brady. Remember, you go back to the game against the Saints. He was not good in that game. He didn't even eclipse the 200-yard barrier. Defenses set him up. His defense set him up. You go back to the Green Bay game, he was not great. 20 of 36, 3 touchdowns, 3 interceptions, 280 yards. Yeah, Aaron Rodgers outplayed him in that game. Defensively, this team was spectacular. And I really do see some comparisons in Tom Brady's 7th Super Bowl championship. You know how ridiculous it is to say that? 7th Super Bowl championship? Of the Patriots, the Steelers, the 49ers, the Cowboys. He's got more than any of them. He's got 7 Super Bowl championships. But I see a lot of comparisons in the way he approached the game for number 7 and the way Peyton Manning approached the game for number 2. Now, don't get me wrong. Tom Brady is above and beyond better than Peyton Manning was in Super Bowl 50 5 years ago when the Broncos won a Super Bowl. There's no comparison between the two. However, Tom Brady, with a clean bill of health, knew all he had to do was not make a mistake. Because this Buccaneer defense, it's loaded. It's so good. And there's guys like Ndamukong Suh. You've got to be thrilled for this guy winning a Super Bowl championship. He's one of the most dominant defensive tackles that we have ever seen. You go back to his time in Nebraska, that guy was so dominant when he was with the Cornhuskers that you had a legitimate argument to fill out your Heisman ballot to a defensive tackle being at the top. That's how dominant he was. He was terrific in Detroit, overpaid in Miami, helped the Rams get to the Super Bowl, goes to Tampa Bay. The guy's a brilliant businessman off the field. I'm thrilled for this guy. But that's just one of the centerpieces. You got Devin White. Right now, best linebacker in football. I don't think there's any question. Best linebacker in football. Steeler fans may not like that. But yes, in my mind, he is the best linebacker in the game right now. And you can just go down the list at this Tampa Bay defense. You know that they're going to take care of business. If it's Shaquille Barrett, who was really, really effective. He hit Patrick Mahomes 4 times yesterday. If it's Jason Pierre-Paul, who's had a great NFL career, But we're seeing the second story in his book. He's done some great things in Tampa Bay. Lavonte David, Steve McClendon. Yes, there's a lot of talent on this defensive unit. And you can't give MVP of the game to an entire defense. You can't do that. You have to pick out one player. I have no problem with Tom Brady getting it. I mean, he was nearly flawless. 21 of 29, 200 yards, 3 touchdowns. I mean, that's exactly the perfect stat line for the way this team is designed. You know, but you looking at the offensive side of the ball, you cannot forget Leonard Fournette, who was a castaway. Jacksonville didn't want him. If you play fantasy football, you were probably so fed up with Leonard Fournette and the fact that this guy could not stay healthy. Jacksonville told him to go away. Last night, 16 carries, 89 yards, and a score. He managed to run uphill a couple of times in this game. Kansas City had no answer for him. And who would have ever thought that Rob Gronkowski, who had 6 catches for 2 scores and 68, 67 yards, would be deemed more effective than Travis Kelce? Because he was. He was in this game. If you look at the stat line, you say Kelce had 133 yards receiving. How was he more effective? Well, there's nuance to every single statistic. Rob Gronkowski found the end zone twice. Kansas City found the end zone 0 times. They managed to put up 9 points, and they were shut out in the fourth quarter. Yeah, Rob Gronkowski was more effective than Travis Kelce. And the biggest thing that I can pinpoint to that is Todd Bowles yesterday was flat out brilliant. He was so good in this game. We're going to double Tyreek Hill. We're going to double Travis Kelce. We're going to force Kansas City and Patrick Mahomes to beat us without their 2 top options. Clyde Edwards-Helaire couldn't really get anything established on the ground yesterday. That running back by committee approach for Kansas City, it didn't really work. And Mahomes looked frustrated. And you know why he looked frustrated? Because there was no help up front. Tampa Bay took full advantage of that. Whoever you have coming off of the edge, if it's Barrett, if it was David, if it was White, whoever you had coming off of the edge yesterday, Jason Pierre-Paul, there was too much coming at Patrick Mahomes, and he had to throw the football 50 times in this game. Yeah, because they were down 31-9 going into the fourth quarter. Still plenty of time for this Kansas City team, but there was absolutely, there was no time to develop anything behind the line of scrimmage in this game, and Mahomes took a beating because of it. And I haven't done enough homework on it. I'd have to go back and look. But Tampa Bay hit Mahomes 10 times yesterday. Barrett got him 4 times. Golston, Nelson, McClendon got him once. And Ndamukong Suh got to him twice. Cam Gill, I believe, got to him once too, if I'm not mistaken. So there were 10 hits on Patrick Mahomes yesterday. You know how many hits there were on Tom Brady? 2. That's it. 2. 1 sack, 2 hits. Patrick Mahomes yesterday was sacked 3 times, and they were brutal sacks, too. There were a couple late in the game. He took a couple of solid, solid hits. But really, there became a point in time, and I think it was about midway through the third quarter, I realized this game's over. Kansas City had a little bit of life, but it became blatantly obvious at that point that none of it was sustainable. None of it. Because outside of Travis Kelce, like if you watch this game, if you watch the game front to back, were you aware that Tyreek Hill had 73 yards in this game? Were you aware of that? I mean, I remember he had like a 25-yard reception, and that was about it. That was all I really remember from Tyreek Hill. I was surprised when I looked at the final stat and said, wow, he had 73 yards? I didn't remember that. You know, Travis Kelce had 133 yards, but like I said, outside of one 30-plus yard play that he had, nothing really popped off during that entire game. Like, uh-oh, here comes Kelce. Uh-oh, here comes Hill. There were times in this game where I thought, wow, Patrick Mahomes is incredible. Like when this guy is, seriously, he's horizontal, falling down on the ground and rifles a ball 25 yards downfield to the end zone. Incredible. This guy's athleticism is just through the roof. But really, there wasn't anyone. Sammy Watkins, I mean, that was a disappearing act. He had 1 catch. I mean, that was it. So, yes, we could talk about Brady and we could talk about the legacy. There's no question in my mind this guy is the greatest quarterback to ever play in the NFL. He was before last night. But now that he's won 7, and he'll go for number 8 next year. This guy's played in 10 Super Bowls. We've only had 55 of them. Think about that. He's nearly played in a fifth of all Super Bowls. And while he won Super Bowl MVP, I just don't think you can ever overlook the incredible defensive performance from the Buccaneers yesterday. And Todd Bowles will get another head coaching job after next season. He's going to be in Tampa Bay one more year, and this guy will get a head coaching job. And also, the other story that I'm a little surprised at today, people are wondering why Byron Leftwich did not get any pub for a head coaching job. Look, this guy can coach. Jameis Winston threw for 5,000 yards last year. There's only 8 other players in NFL history that have done that. And one of them was Jameis Winston under Byron Leftwich. Like, we knew that this Buccaneer team was built to go deep. Now, there were times this year where you questioned it when they were 7-5. But when they were 7-5, you saw the defense really turn over a new leaf. And that's when Tampa Bay started to roll at that point in time. And again, I'm not taking anything away from Tom Brady at all. But you go back and look at the way the defense had played, holding Minnesota to 14 points, holding Detroit to 7 points. I mean, they ended the season on a 4-game winning streak when we were wondering if they may be the team that misses out on the postseason. Defensively, they were great against the Saints. They were great against Green Bay. They were spectacular against Kansas City. So, yes, Tom Brady may have been the missing ingredient for this team because Jameis Winston, I think he threw 30 interceptions last year. Brady was the missing ingredient, a guy that can manage the situation, take over the game, and not make mistakes when it counts. Right? Because he made mistakes in the postseason, but he didn't have any glaring mistakes. That's why I compare it to what Peyton did 5 years ago. Even though Peyton Manning was far more limited than Brady, he just couldn't make a mistake. Yeah, he was the missing ingredient to a team that was very good. Tampa Bay's defense, spectacular in Super Bowl 55. We're going to break for just a moment. More Drive Time Sports coming up when we return. We'll put the final touches on this edition of the show right after this.
Welcome back to Drive Time Sports on KOAL 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM, Eastern Utah's home for the Utah Jazz.
We're about out of time on this edition of Drive Time Sports. Tomorrow's going to be a lot of fun. It's Football Tuesday, and now with the season over, there's so many different topics that we can get into. Of course, we have to talk Kansas City and Tampa Bay and what's next. Right, of course, that has to be a conversation on the show tomorrow. But some of the big pressing offseason storylines, and we also know who the head coach is going to be for all 32 teams. I've been waiting to have this talk. You know, two guys that'll probably be in the running, three guys that'll probably be in the running next year: Eric Bieniemy, Byron Leftwich, Todd Bowles. I think last night we saw three guys coaching in the Super Bowl that will be head coaches relatively soon. I believe that. Unless Tampa Bay has already told Todd Bowles, hey, when BA retires, it's your gig. I could see that happening as well. But nonetheless, I think there was a lot of head coaches on that field yesterday. We got to talk about that. Also, tomorrow, we're going to bring you back-to-back local basketball games. At 5 o'clock, we have the conference opener, the USU Eastern Lady Eagles. They're going to open up SWAC play against Colorado Northwestern at the BDAC. So immediately following tomorrow's show, we're going to send you out to the BDAC. And then immediately after that game, we're going to kick it to Castle Dale, and I'm going to be joined by Scott Labrum, and we'll bring you the Region 12 championship game between the Emory Lady Spartans and the South Sevier Rams. I'm looking forward to tomorrow's game. It's going to be spectacular. A Region 12 title being decided in Emory County. You can't ask for anything more than that in the regular season. The grind of high school basketball, it all ends tomorrow with a Region 12 championship on the line. So we got a couple of great games lined up. A lot of sports beginning at 4 o'clock tomorrow. Again, Football Tuesday, we'll move it into USU Eastern Women's Basketball, and then we'll kick it to Emory Lady Spartan Basketball. And you'll also be able to listen to the USU Eastern Men's Contest at CastleCountryRadio.com, where you can watch it as well at KOALITV.com or USUEasternAthletics.com, so you'll have plenty of options there. I want to thank Coach Bill Evans for taking out the time to join us today. I will catch you tomorrow. I'll be back with Vinny Rondinelli. Until then, be safe. I am out.